Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 654. And I am on the way home from work today. I hope I get out of here. Man, I do not want to hit a car. Okay, I didn't hit a car. Whew. That was close, though. I bet you the guys looking out the window going, Jay, don't hit my car. Don't hit my car! And I think I accomplished my goal. I really don't have much to talk about. I was just talking to one of our researchers. He is from India. And I was talking about that I was going to take my kids and go up hiking in the Pecos Wilderness, which is just about 2 hours away from where I live. And, of course, he had hiking stories, too, but he would go with groups up into the Himalayas because that's the mountains they have there, you know. So it's like, well, it's just impressive because, of course, they're the highest mountains in the world. Much more impressive than the piddly mountains we have here in New Mexico. Although they're quite good here, much better than what Texas has. And I don't want to get too weird about Texas because, you know, Texas has got its troubles, you know. For being such a geographically large state, it really is kind of lacking a bit. It's got coastlines, which are nice. And I certainly like that, you know, coastlines along the Gulf of Mexico. And it's good that way, but, you know, I'm not terribly impressed, honestly. You know, stuff that's as big as Texas, it's meaningless to me. Meaningless. And so, therefore, I let you have one of my biases. Let you see it. And you'll see plenty. I'm the first guy to say, now, I'm Zenith, so when I say that everybody has the same problems I do, that's not true. I just suppose they do. Most likely they don't. Hopefully we have some things in common. So I keep throwing it out there, and people still laugh and smile and nod their heads, so I'm guessing that I'm still hitting the mark okay. But that was one of the things that I got into when I was a bit younger, when I was doing some adult education. Mostly child care providers. And they're pretty normal folks. These are not magnificently educated people, by and large. You know, these are high school graduates. They just went on with their lives. They didn't go to college. They didn't do anything really exotic or crazy. But, oh my gosh, look at all these thistles. We've got a ton of thistles. Purple ones. Very nice looking. But they're thistles, you know. You don't get all excited about thistles particularly. But a ton of them here by the roadside. Cool. I would be teaching these classes, and there's actually a course called the 45-hour course. I told the story before, I think, on The Life Autistic, but it's been so long. It's probably been 50 or 60 episodes. I think it's safe to tell at least a little bit of it again, different rendition perhaps. And I was teaching what was called the 45-hour course. It was a real standardized course to be taught all over the state for everybody who was taking care of other people's children. The child care industry. So I was one of these instructors for this course because I was an experienced child care type person. I was a developmental specialist too. I don't think I am anymore. I think my registration for it has lapsed. I haven't kept up my continuing education units. So I just get to be a commentator nowadays, which I actually kind of prefer in a way, to other things. Anyway, so, one of the things in this 45-hour course was you're supposed to teach anti-bias, the anti-bias curriculum. It had a lot to do with trying not to do things that were going to be immediately offensive to people, trying to be respectful of cultures, trying to show that you didn't have biases either for or against anything, which is, I'm sorry, I will go ahead and say something I think is true. It's certainly true for me. I hope it's true for other people. That we're all biased. We've all got likes and dislikes. You know, we all have preferences. There's people we prefer to be around and people we don't prefer to be around. I am definitely not a subscriber in objectivity. I think being objective is kind of a fantasy. And when you say that you are objective, or if you're working toward trying to be objective, I think you're being a little bit disingenuous. I think it's better to go ahead and try to air your biases. To say, I've noticed I have a bias about this, and a bias about this, and a bias about this. That way people will know that they need to filter. I think everybody should filter all the time. Filter for bias. Anytime you get to somebody and they say they're telling you the truth, always filter it for bias. You know, what kind of a person is he? What kind of a thing does he come from? What kind of a perspective do you think this person would have? Typically, you're right. Is that cocky? Is that cocky Zenith Asperger's garbage to say, yes, I'm always right? Well, I'm typically right. But that's a bias, too. People that are pretty cocky that they think they're right all the time when they typically aren't. Okay, because nobody is. Nobody is going to be right. You know, it may sound very astute, what's being said. It can still be totally wrong, or it can come totally from a very biased perspective and be chock full of biases. You know, my bias, you know, you can get it in politics, religion, whatever it is you have that really tends to be kind of divisive. So I had this anti-bias curriculum I was supposed to do. Let me give you just a little example. Halloween was always touted as a big example of things that you needed to do differently. You know, really fundamentalist Christians didn't like Halloween, said it was pagan and horrible. Other people didn't like scary things being used. So you were supposed to water this down until it became something like kind of a harvest celebration. I always thought that was kind of a Wiccan thing because it was almost kind of went with the I don't want to call it the solstice because it's not. But, you know, it was kind of worshiping Mother Earth for her bounty. And I think that's rather biased, too. And I said it, and people would tell me to shut up because they had thought they had stumbled upon this one beautiful way to get this done without being offensive to anybody. And all of a sudden, I was sitting here saying how offended I was going to get with this. Just to be snitty. You know, I don't care. Go ahead and have your Halloween. Who gives a flip? You know, I get torched at Halloween because I'm tired of buying all kinds of candy and giving it away to kids. I don't think it's good to give away candy to kids. You know, what am I trying to do? Buy favors from them? But some kids are going to treat me nice in my old age. Maybe that's a good thing about Halloween. If I give away enough Halloween candy, maybe kids will feel kindly disposed to me when I'm in the nursing home and they don't, and they would just as soon, you know, not feed me or just as soon joggle my arm with the IV in it, and all of a sudden I'll get too much medicine and I'll die or something. You know, maybe I am buying the little turkeys off. I don't know. Anyway, so we had this whole thing about anti-bias curriculum, and I never taught it. I never taught it. I would teach bias. And I thought I was being pretty straightforward and honest. I don't think I ever really got caught, but, you know, after a while, I didn't get asked to do it. Frankly, I think it's because the whole 45-hour course idea kind of went by the wayside. And it wasn't, it ended up being a government program that didn't get any legs under it particularly. But a lot of things end up being like that. You know? Anyway. So I would, and I struggled with this because I always thought of myself as being kind of non-biased, or trying to be non-biased, which is also impossible too. You can't really do that either. But that sounds better to me than anti-bias. Anti-bias means that when you see bias, you attack it. And you vilify, well, I don't know if they really wanted to go this far, but it's the next logical step in whatever action you are going to be taking to handle bias. If you're going to be anti-bias, that means you're against it. That means you actively work to get rid of it. Of course, I come from a place where there's lots of people who are Christians. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Christians may or may not be, depending on their stridency. I try to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. So, Christians have a built-in problem with devil worshippers. And I would set up this whole scenario here of anti-bias. I would say, okay, let's say that you had this little devil worshipper kid, and you were supposed to be anti-bias. So that means, number one, you would take your little devil worshipper kid, and you would have to be kind to them, number one, but not just kind. Being kind would be kind of a non-biased way to be. You know, I'm not going to get weird about labels and stuff like that. If you're going to be anti-bias, your whole point is, now, a big thing about anti-bias is you need to really piss on, sorry, I hope that doesn't offend you, but that really kind of is the way it's treated. You kind of piss on majority groups. If there's white people, you have to piss on what they value. If it's Christians, you have to kind of piss on what they value in favor of things that aren't traditional or aren't in the majority. You know, call them, you know, blessed minorities. Blacks are the most blessed minority there is. They can do and get away with anything, and you're just supposed to sit there and smile, because they can shout discrimination anytime they want to, and you'll be hauled off to some discrimination camp, I don't know, and get training to how you're always supposed to let black people do whatever they want. Now, that's a horrid simplification, of course, because, you know, I used to work in prisons, and prisons were full of black people. Not completely, but let me tell you, it wasn't a ratio of the population. There's more black people in prisons than there were out in the general population, as a percentage of the total population. You know, there might be 50% black people in the prison, and you go, there certainly isn't 50% black people, you know, on the other side of the razor wire, you know, in the normal day-to-day work of the state of New Mexico. That wasn't true. There was a whole lot more Hispanics. Of course, there was a lot of Hispanics in there, too. Anyway. Anybody's tends to kind of go that way. It tends to be smash what you would consider to be favored places, old white males, and you're supposed to trump up and make life a beautiful place for dark-skinned women who aren't fed well, or something along those things. The exact opposite of whatever people thought the power structure was supposed to be. So we would have this little, you know, you would have this little devil worshiper guy. Now, I would mostly speak, Christian women are big into child care in my area. And you could always bring up the Christian white woman attitude, and I could ruffle their feathers in 5 seconds. Because it was so easy. You knew exactly how to do it. So you'd say, okay, you probably like saying prayers over your snacks or your meals that you give. And they said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. We always say grace at our meals. I said, okay, that's all right. You can do that. You know, I said, I wasn't going to tell them not to. I said, but if you had this little devil worshipper kid, you have to understand that you have to let him do whatever he wants to do. You know, and his parents can come in and say, my kid needs to sacrifice a goat at this pagan altar, you know, once a day in the afternoon. We're at work. We can't do it with them. You have to do it with them. But of course, any Christian woman would say, gosh, no, I refuse to. I find this repugnant. And the guy could say, anti-bias. He could get the state authorities to come and give you grief. And so you'd say, well, you'd be forced to, unless they take away your license, can't do child care anymore. You know, and most of them would say, well, fine, they can take away my license. I'd rather not do child care than be going out and helping some kid. Of course, it's a little bit of a kid, right? 4 or 5 years old. You'd have to help them with a crooked knife, you know, slaughtering this animal. And you'd have to help them with whatever words or rituals needed to be done. You'd basically be guiding them through it. And you go, this is anti-bias. Well, this is one of the aspects of it. It's not the whole thing. That's one of the aspects of it. And I painted kind of a rough picture, but it's honest. If you were to present that picture to the people who came up with anti-bias, they would say, oh, yes, you must do that. You must respect their culture. You must respect the things that their parents want done. And it's not your place to be saying, no, I don't run that kind of thing. It kind of goes from child care being a private business to kind of being a public utility where you have to honor whatever's shoved in front of you. Interesting. So that's when I came up with everybody's biased. Everybody's biased. That's why these things should be handled by private individuals and private groups, private companies. They can decide the kind of people they want. They can say, okay, our child care center is a Christian child care center. We read scriptures from the Talmud every day. Every day we have, you know, a Talmud reading. And so people just expect that. If you have a problem with that, you don't take your kid there. Take your kid someplace else. And I always kind of like that idea, you know. Please respect diversity enough to keep your little fingers off of it. Now, that's not the diversity that your run-of-the-mill, kind of liberal-minded socialist would really be kind of excited about. They don't like that, you know. They say, we're going to come up with something, some national virtue that everybody has to agree to, and then we're going to tell every... Then we're going to pretty much ban everything else, you know, so we can have a nice homogeneous society. Which never works either. I'm sorry. So I'm the kind of guy that way. Now, when it comes to the semantic arguments, I'm going to stop talking about bias, because bias isn't really interesting. I've already worked on that. It's done. It's over. Just accept the fact that people have biases, and that's why we all have different houses. That's why we all have fences around our backyards. And that's why you don't get weird about what your neighbor's doing in his backyard, because it's not going to look like what you want. And if that bothers you, well, get a grip, goodbye, have a nice day. That's your problem. Deal with it. He doesn't have to change to accommodate you, even if everybody else on your block keeps their yard a nice English lawn, beautifully sculpted and heavily watered. You know, that's fine. You get to have your lawn your way. Don't start picking on the poor guy who's there and doesn't want to spend the money. I get big on that, because I'm the poor guy that doesn't want to spend money on water just to keep up a cute-looking lawn. That's not interesting to me. Anyway, I was talking to my mother about something. I forget what. Oh, being social. Because you have those kind of terms, too. You know, you're social, you're non-social, you're anti-social. Which means you just don't like people and you just assume kill them to get them to leave you alone. I'm not like that. I want to be left alone. My mom probably came up with the term asocial. It's just kind of the opposite of being social. It's not that you hate social people. Social people can be as social as they like, as long as they don't do it around me. You know? I don't mind going to the occasional convention particularly, but I'm going to be kind of standoffish. I don't want to get surrounded by 150 people. You know, I certainly don't want to be a celebrity. Because, just It would give me the willies. I'm sorry. I'd probably vomit all over them. All over all those adoring fans. I don't want that. You know, I like my privacy. I want to go in. I want to do my job, and then I want to leave. Not that I don't like people. I like people fine. I just don't feel any particular need to hang out with them particularly. You know, I just assume them, you know, I'm perfectly willing to help them with the things that they need help with. You know, I don't like to say, oh boy, he doesn't like people. And you go, no, people are fine. It's just people in large groups trying to, you know, drum up banter or conversation. It just makes me nuts. I don't like that. You know, that's, there's other people you do that with. I'm not interested in that. But that's up to those people are bad. You know, I want them to have things the way they want them. Just please don't walk all over me to do it. And that's what social ends up being. Well, you need to be part of the group here. We need to be part of the team. And it's like, I am not a team player. And says, you know, I can deal with people on an individual, on a family level. That's great. I want people to be happy. But as to, well, you need to be on the team. You need to be part of the larger group. You need to go show up at all the soirees that we have. Because if you don't, you're not going to get ahead in this world. It's like, you know what? I don't want to get ahead in this world if that's what's required. Because that's not me. I'm so grateful for my boss. I think he understands my asocial nature. And he's always very respectful. So, Jay, if you want to come to the Christmas party or the birthday parties, the things that they do, that's great. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather drink a quart of mercury. I'd rather eat a big chunk of lead. I just don't want that, honestly. Please don't make a fuss about myself. Oh, it's not a Christmas party for Jay. It's like, please don't. But we love you, Jay. We want to show you how much we love you. And you go, put it in a card, slip it under the door. I appreciate your love. Please just don't gush it all over me in a bucket, okay? Thank you. But, you know, people feel like they aren't being fair, they aren't being nice, unless they do all this stuff for you. It's like, please don't. Throw a surprise party, just make sure I don't show up, okay? A little picture up there, you know. I think I would much prefer awake to anything else because people know that I won't be there. You know, yay! They'll throw a party all about me and they'll be, uh-oh, hang on. This is Jay. Hang on. Alright, I didn't end up answering that phone call because I couldn't make it. I think I have never successfully answered a phone call with my headset. Never. Never, never, never. Either it hangs up on me before I can get to it, or whatever. It just doesn't work. Anyway, someday I will actually successfully pull it off, and I'll be so happy with myself. Oh, and there's the voice message from somebody saying, oh, Jay, I'm sunk, I'm dead, you need to come see me. And it's like, this woman is not even a member of my college. You know, the fact that I go and do work for her makes me nuts because she's one of those users that just makes me crazy. But you know what? She's usually very nice about it, so I can't give her a hard time because she's so nice. She's very conciliatory, and she's always saying, Jay, I know you're really busy, and I know that it's probably nothing. It's probably really small. But it's just not working, Jay. It's like, help me, please. Anyway, ooh, it's raining really well now. Can you hear the rain? Great. Okay, anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about being asocial and just letting it go. This is definitely a Zenith / Asperger / autistic trait. Certainly has nothing to do with my twins who love parties. They love cake. They love all that stuff. I think my ADHD son, Sam, is hyper social. I think he's almost scary social. He just wants to wants to be doing stuff, and he wants to have other people do it with him, which is totally opposite of me. I actually have a daughter, Brenna, who I think is much more like me in just being asocial. She's just easygoing, you know. She'll play along with stuff, but you know, she'd be just as happy in her room by herself reading a book. And that's kind of me, I think. So it's kind of an asocial thing. I really do. Social settings make me crazy. Just make me nuts. Well, anyway. Okay, I better let this thing go because I'm starting to think about this lady and I need to find out if I'm going to Taos tomorrow, which I might be, if it's something that we can't really solve over the phone. It's raining! It's marvelous! I hope it's raining in Tucumcari. We could really use a good rain. This is marvelous! And I thank Heavenly Father for it every day. My name is Jay Nemro. If you would like to contact me, the email address is autism, AUTISM, @ quix.us. And Quix is spelled QUIX. If you want me to come speak to your group, just for fun, I wouldn't mind doing it. As long as you're willing to pay for my travel and maybe for a little bit of time, I'd be glad to come and speak to your group. On whatever subject you want me to speak on. Heck, I'll speak on weather patterns, although I don't really have much of an expertise on that. But if you want to contact me to do that, please use the phone. 1-575-461-2716. One is the country code. United States, aren't we cocky? But we give ourselves country code 1. Anyway. This is Jay Nemro. This has been episode number 654. Anti-bias, asocial. Have a nice day.